Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. The Colts are now in the win column, fresh off a pretty sound drubbing of the Houston Texans and rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud. I wouldn't say that there are any must-win games on the schedule this season for the Colts, given their expectations, but this one was close. The Texans might be the worst team in the league, and if you want any chance to compile a few wins this season, this was the one you had to have. The Colts traveled to Houston and took care of business in smooth fashion. I want to discuss that game and some absolutely shocking news. Shocking. I mean, shocking. Stay with me, Colts fans. All right, I'm a little bit under the weather, as you might be able to notice, but please hang with me here. I don't know if I've said this before, but a good journalist leads with the best story, the best headline, right? Well, I've told you a long time ago that I'm no journalist. No, a good short story writer, on the other hand, knows that the climax is the best part of the narrative, and that comes last, or very close to the end. I've got some absolutely shocking news that I have to share, but I'm not going to do that yet. You'll have to wait. First, I want to recap the episode that never was. As you might know, there was no episode last week. My apologies. I wrote the thing entirely then. I just never got a chance to record it. My kids had soccer practice on Thursday night. After that, I'll be honest, I watched Thursday night football. I was tired, and it just didn't happen. So I want to briefly recap the one that never was. The week one loss to the Jags was unsurprising. That's a really good team in Jacksonville, and Anthony Richardson was making his very first NFL start. The game was close enough, but I was more impressed with the Colts' new rookie quarterback. Two facts about AR that I think we need to keep in perspective throughout this season. He is one of the most athletically gifted players to ever play quarterback in the NFL, and simultaneously, he is one of the most inexperienced quarterbacks ever drafted. The PFF Daily podcast discussed this inexperience before the week one matchup, and I think the discussion was pretty fair. Their main point was that Colts fans shouldn't get too excited about the good or the bad because AR's development is going to take time. To offer some context and nuance to the discussion, they focus not just on college starts. We all know that AR started very few games in college. No, they focused on college pass attempts, making the claim that Anthony Richardson's real game pass attempts are absurdly low when compared to any of the recent quarterbacks drafted. PFF has their list, but here's mine. Consider the guy on the other side of the field in week one. Trevor Lawrence was one of the most NFL-ready quarterbacks drafted in the past 20 years. Peyton Manning in 1998, then Andrew Luck in 2012, then I would say that Trevor Lawrence was the next can't-miss quarterback to be drafted. Each of the three had over 1,000 passing attempts in college. The first two quarterbacks drafted in April were Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Bryce had 949 college pass attempts, while C.J. Stroud had 830. The only quarterback who I could think of, and might be missing somebody, who had a similar number of starts in college to Richardson was Mitchell Trubisky, who was drafted after only 572 college pass attempts. And yet, Anthony Richardson's 393 college pass attempts was well below that number. The only real comparison right now in the NFL was Trey Lance, who attempted 318 collegiate throws, and that is terrifying. The San Francisco 49ers gave three first-round picks to procure Trey Lance in the 2021 draft and just now gave up on him after four starts and 262 NFL snaps. I'm not comparing these players because they have vastly different levels of talent and different kinds of talents. However, I am comparing their levels of experience. And when you compare Anthony Richardson's lack of experience to quarterbacks drafted over the past 25 years, you have to acknowledge that this situation is not just unique, it's unprecedented. Consider this. A year ago, the Colts drafted safety Nick Cross in the third round. He was a young player who had played 29 games in college. Yet 2 games into the 22 season, the coaches decided that he lacked the experience needed to play safety, and he was benched. Now, after 24 total games played in college and under 400 pass attempts, Anthony Richardson is tasked with leading an NFL franchise. This experiment is like nothing we have ever seen before. Anthony Richardson is insanely talented and also exceptionally inexperienced. Even so, his professional debut was not that bad. He threw for a higher percentage and fewer interceptions than Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Trevor Lawrence, and fellow 22 first-rounder Bryce Young in each of their debuts. AR threw a costly game-sealing interception late in the fourth quarter of the Jags game. Before that turnover, the Colts were unfathomably in a great spot to regain the lead late. In the Texans game, AR had an even better start, but as you know, he suffered a concussion while scoring on the Colts' second drive. Richardson returned to play 2 more possessions before self-reporting concussion symptoms and exiting the game. A little more on that later, though. Another calculated focus of last week's episode that never was the sad showing from the running backs. With Zach Moss out with an injury and JT still on PUP, the team rolled on with backup Deion Jackson and rookie Evan Hall. I hate to say this because I like the guy and I've been pulling for him to make the roster, but man, Deion Jackson was bad, real bad. Jackson lined up as the starter Sunday and carried the ball 13 times for 14 yards. Kevin Bowen reported that it was the worst yards per carry average in the past 40 years for the Colts. And it gets worse. He lost 2 fumbles. Somehow, though, it seemed like this game was even worse than the numbers say. It was a significant disaster for Deion Jackson. Rookie running back Evan Hall came in and looked okay, but got injured, and now he's on IR. I hate to state the obvious here, but this team could really use a good running back, like a really good one. Like, it would be so amazing if somehow there was an all-pro running back somewhere out there. Maybe he wasn't playing for another team, and he could just come to Indy and be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? I'm not talking about signing an old veteran. No, like a younger running back in his prime who has had a lot of recent success, maybe in a blue and white jersey, no less. And it would be especially awesome if he was somehow already on the payroll. Yeah, that would be amazing. Because I look at this team and I see some pretty good defense. The wide receivers, although I've been critical, have played well enough. And we have a young, talented quarterback with an absolutely abysmal showing from the ground game against the Jags in week 1. The Colts were still in a position to win against one of the better teams in the league. If somehow the Colts could find a great running back, maybe this team could be much better than I thought. And that was about it from the episode that was not recorded. Of course, I commented on DeForest Buckner's great defensive play, probably the best of his impressive career. Additionally, I wrote about my guy, Kylan Granton, and I expect that to be a consistent theme throughout the season. I continue to be impressed by Granton. I'll say this again, last year, when the Colts drafted 2 giant tight ends and still had Mo Alie-Cox on the roster, I wondered if Granton would make the team. Now, he's tight end 1. It is often said in this league, the best ability is availability. While nearly all of the other tight ends have or had been injured and unavailable this offseason, Granton has been working. He's clearly talented and shifty. His blocking is improving. He had an awesome block in week 2 that sprung Richardson's 2nd score. And Granton has established a real connection with Richardson. We saw it in the offseason, and now it is manifesting in the regular season. I think Granton has a great year. Okay, now that's it. It would have been a fine episode, but we'll never know for sure. It is the one that never was. Okay, now I want to be completely honest with you. Not only was last week's episode never recorded, I also wondered if I'd ever make another episode. It's true. I love doing this, but it's getting harder and harder to find the time. I considered shutting it down entirely until something shocking happened. I'm not kidding. This is the juice you've been waiting for. A couple of nights ago, I was scrolling Instagram like I do, and I saw something that blew my mind. You're not going to believe this. the Pro Football Focus Instagram account posted the highest graded players from week two. I was interested, so I clicked, although I did not expect to see any Colts names on the list. In fact, if you gave me an hour, maybe 3 hours, to list names I thought I would see, I certainly wouldn't have written the right one. Even better, if you told me to list Colts players that would be on there, the absolute last one I would guess was the very one posted for the highest graded guard in week two, all across the league. Not Quentin Nelson. No, Will Fries scored a 90.3, 90 out of 100. Not 200 or 4, a 90.3, best in the league. If I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet, I'd be less surprised than I am right now. Will Fries. Listen, it's not personal. Fries is probably a nice guy. He's a Colt. I'm pulling for him. I like him. But man, I have been so critical. Well, not so much critical of the player, really, as much as I was critical of the decision to keep playing him. Last year, he was unquestionably the worst player on one of the worst offensive lines in football. And I know it was just 1 week against a not very good opponent, but the best score in the league? I'm flabbergasted. It was in that moment that I knew I had to record another episode. Will Fries deserves this. He does. Congratulations, buddy. I was so consumed by this news that I had a dream about it. I'm not kidding. There I was, somehow, at the Colts practice, and I said to Will Fries, I said, "Did you know that you had the highest PFF grade in the league last week?" Then he, of course, looked at me like, "Why are you at my practice?" Understandably. Anyway, that was about it. That was the whole dream. Not only was Fries on that PFF list, but also, get this, Ryan Kelly was the highest scoring center of week two with a score of 87.3. And he is the highest scoring center throughout the 2 weeks with an average of 82.8. In my opinion, these were two of the worst linemen last year. And while I had hope of a Quentin Nelson resurgence and was also hopeful about the future of left tackle Bernard Raimann, I never would have guessed that Ryan Kelly and Will Fries would be the two players from this offensive line to make an early impact the way that they have. You know what this means, right? You know. Playoffs, baby. That's right. We're going to the playoffs. Okay, maybe I'm only half serious about that, but if somehow this offensive line, which was a glaring weakness for this team a year ago, can be a strength for this team this year, I think that changes some things for the Colts. I do. Now, they just need someone to run the ball behind that line, right? Zach Moss was fine Sunday. Actually, his return was quite a refreshing change from what we saw in week one. But we can do better. I think so. We know what the right answer is. Someone who has been running the ball pretty well is Anthony Richardson. He's been great so far, but we saw Sunday that there are imminent concerns about the way he plays football. I have no worries about his accuracy. His percentage over two games, well, six quarters, has been pretty impressive. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how he has been unable to protect himself. He has started two games and has finished zero games. Two starts and three injuries. That's not good math, Colts fans. No. On multiple occasions, Colts owner Jim Irsay has referred to Anthony Richardson as Superman. And yes, I agree that AR has some superhero qualities. He's magical at times, but he's not Superman. That man is made of flesh and blood like you and me. He's not Superman, he's Clark Kent. And I don't say that with any criticism. What an incredible skill, actually, to be able to duck into a phone booth and transform into something magical and accomplish magical things on the field. AR can do that. But under the uniform, he is irrefutably human and must be protected. A few final notes I want to add. Maybe I was wrong about Will Fries, I'm not sure, but he definitely deserves some recognition from his play Sunday. Someone else who instantly won me over was Gardner Minshew. If you listen back to recent episodes, you'll see that, or hear that, I really wasn't a huge fan. The images I saw of Minshew prior to the season were unpleasant. He was the mustached, short, jean shorts guy who was a little too riled up and pesky for my liking, just seemed more like an annoyance. I wasn't pumped about him signing with the Colts in the offseason, but he was excellent Sunday. He entered the game in the second quarter and played coolly and excellently to secure the win. Then, afterward, he was so quiet and reserved in the post-game presser, like almost sad. He's not at all who I thought he was, and he won me over. And I admit that I was wrong about him. I'm a fan now. I am, right? I'm declaring this right now. I am a Gardner Minshew fan. How about that? Lastly, I want to discuss DJB or DBJ. Who knows? I'm not really sure. But I'm talking about the new quarterback, Daryl Baker Jr. He wasn't very good Sunday. Okay, he was awful, but I'm not concerned. In the words of Kevin Bowen, the great KB, there is no perfect football team. We know that, right? This is a hard cap league. The Colts have an exceptional linebacker group. Speaking of, EJ Speed looks kind of like Shaq Leonard, or maybe a Shaq Leonard light, maybe a sign of what he used to be. The Colts D-line is one of the best in the league. That's my opinion. The safeties are okay. And they have young, inexperienced cornerbacks who are going to struggle this year. We know that. We knew that. And it's okay. The Colts' outside cornerbacks have started a combined total of 5 games so far. Those guys will get better. I'm not worried. And Sunday, the team goes back to their old home in Baltimore to play the Ravens. I assume that Gardner Minshew will be the starter since Richardson suffered that concussion. The team might also be without center Ryan Kelly, who is also dealing with concussion symptoms. So the shaky O-line depth will be tested. I look for Kylan Granson to be a popular target, as well as rookie wide receiver Josh Downs, as Minshew tries to get rid of the ball quickly. And, you know, secretly, I'm hoping for some kind of revenge out after that 2021 breakdown with Carson Wentz. And I think there was a kicker injury when the Colts lost, sadly, to the Ravens. I'd love to see some kind of revenge there. Let's also see if Alec Pierce finally gets going. All right, so here we go, Colts fans. Enjoy the game. Come back next week, and maybe we'll talk about it. Talk to you soon. Take care, and go Colts. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.